Let me open in prayer, and then let's begin. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, we thank you for who you are and all the help that you give us, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that you impart in us. And Lord, we just invite you now into this call, and Lord, may you guide us and lead us everywhere that you want us to go. Lord, we're hungry for your word and we want to know what you want to talk to us about. And we ask this all now in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. So the last time we met, we were kind of talking about, it's kind of been surprisingly, it's been the same theme from the Lord since last June. And it's really focused on, the goodness of the Lord and what he wants to do, what he wants to do through us. And, before I really dive into this, I want to say that every Zoom call, before the Zoom call takes place, I send my notes to Lori and she posts those. And there's going to be a couple things in this message that are important. So I think it would be really good to, go on the website and find these notes for this meeting, and then go to a couple links that I'm going to point you to later on. But this message came to me, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it was very, 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 very significant, in the fact that the Lord was almost insistent upon this message that he wanted to share it. And it focuses largely on his goodness. And so I got this scripture, Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it and know it? And will you not heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, and that's the Amplified version. And so, that message came, or that verse came through real strong. The Lord is absolutely doing a new thing. And, in the natural, like all we have to do is look around in the natural and just look at everything that's changing, even since like our last Zoom call that we had. And, if you're any person, any typical person that kind of pays attention to current events and just the things that are happening around you, things are changing like at a breakneck speed. And the thing that just comes to mind, the expression is, who would have thunk it? I mean, who would have thunk this? That, all these things are changing around us. I'm talking about exposure. I'm talking about facts that are coming to light. I'm talking about facts that we thought were true are kind of upended. And there's just an awful lot of change, an awful lot of upheaval into what we have known to be like normal and regular. Now, I'm also reminded of the verse in, Matthew 24, verses 3 through 13, where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's telling his disciples, back then, he said, this is going to happen. And when I revisit those verses now, I am absolutely reminded of everything that Jesus said was going to happen is starting to happen. Now, I'm not saying it's all happened, but I'm saying quite a bit is happening it. So I'm just going to go back to that scripture and read it. So, the disciples are saying, like, to Jesus, like, when is all this going to take place? You know, when are these things going to happen? And what supernatural sign should we expect to signal your coming and the completion of this age? And then Jesus said,
Oh, he's been out
at
there the
that
whole
time,
time I made dinner.
what?
He's been out there the whole time I made dinner. Oh, I'm
Oh,
sorry.
okay. So Jesus answered, at that time, deception will run rampant. So beware that you're not fooled, for many will appear on the scene claiming my authority and saying about themselves, I'm God's anointed, and they will lead many astray. That's actually happening today. You will hear of wars nearby and revolutions on every side, with more rumors of wars to come. Don't panic or give in to your fears, for the breaking apart of the world system is destined to happen. Yet it won't yet be the end, and it will still be unfolding. Nations will go to a war against each other and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be terrible earthquakes, seismic events of epic proportions, horrible epidemics and famines in place after place. This is how the first contractions and birth pains of the new age will begin. You can expect to be persecuted, even killed, for you will be hated by all the nations because of your love for me. Then many will stop following me and fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many lying prophets will arise, deceiving the multitudes and leading them away from the path of truth. That's happening right now. There will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that is also happening, and it's not new. It's not new. It's been happening, but it's exposed, so it looks like it's new. But and that's being exposed. You know, the great sin and lawlessness. There will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. But keep your hope, endurance to the end, and you'll experience life and deliverance. My point is that things are changing around us at a breakneck speed like we've never seen before. Jesus said this was going to happen. Now, here's the point that I want to focus on. When a normal person sits and watches all this take place around them, and many of their truths that they thought to be true, held to be true, are proven not to be true, that all by itself is kind of upending. And it's kind of disturbing and disconcerting. And so when your world gets shaken and turned upside down, you kind of question, like, what's real? And so one of the things I think that some people are going to experience, and I'm not talking about people in this group, I'm talking about people that you might know who would look at all this disruption and all this upheaval, and then, like, mistakenly attach the character of God to some of these things that are upsetting their apple cart. And then they could walk away with a kind of a tainted view of God the Father just because they put so much stock into things that were not true, or they thought they were true, but then they ended up not being true. It happens frequently whenever we elevate man above the Lord. Whenever we put a man or an institution or an entity on a pedestal above God, and most of the time this is kind of done subconsciously. We don't kind of consciously think about this. It's not like an Olympics award ceremony where there's different pedestals, where we kind of do it subconsciously. But when we do that, and we elevate an entity, an institution, or man above God, and then that entity, institution, or man falls, there's a piece of us that like falls with that. And so when that happens, then subconsciously in the back of our brain, we could really go, well, is God really good? Is God really faithful? Now, this exactly happened to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had a conversation with the Lord in chapter 15 and verses 18 and 19. And in Jeremiah, out of the Amplified Version, Jeremiah is kind of complaining to the Lord, and he's going, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you indeed be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail and are uncertain? And then the Lord responds to Jeremiah, and he says, if you return and give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, then I will give you again a settled place of quiet and safety, and you will be my minister. And if you separate the precious from the vile, cleansing your own heart from unworthy and unwarranted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness, you shall be my mouthpiece. Now, in that conversation, the Lord is kind of commanding Jeremiah to kind of cleanse his own heart and separate the precious from the vile. And the vile is the suspicious nature that we have about God, where we just kind of question, is he really faithful? Is he really good? So anybody can go back into scripture, and if they need to be renewed in their mind, you know, relative to the goodness of God, I would recommend all of Psalm 73, all of Psalm 34, and Romans 8, 18 through 30. And you can't help but be renewed in your mind after you read those scriptures. So about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I heard very strongly in my spirit from the Lord, and this is what I heard in my spirit. I heard the Lord say, I will significantly prosper all those who believe in me and trust me. Now, the same time I heard that, I had a sense that you know, oftentimes people don't believe in the goodness of God the way they should, all based on situations that they're in at the time. And so when we don't believe in the goodness of God, and we kind of focus more on the challenges that are coming our way, and there's plenty of challenges in life, and we all get them, we have a tendency to overinvest in the adversity and underinvest in the goodness of the Lord. And we don't do this consciously. We do it subconsciously. And by subconsciously, what I mean is we mull over in our mind the situation and what might be, instead of really, you know, really owning the scriptures, really meditating on the goodness of the Lord right out of his instruction book, the Bible. So we all have adversity. Everybody's going to be affected at different levels at different times by different forms of adversity. It's just what comes with life. And so let's take a look at adversity as it comes into our life, and like what we do with it. And so one of the Bibles that I read out of, it's called the Founders Bible, and it's filled with all the patriotic stories, you know, from the founding fathers, and it's just filled with all these patriotic stories interwoven with the full Bible, the full scripture. And so you'll read scripture, and then it'll break, and it'll tell a patriotic story about a character. Well, I came across this story, and out of my Founder's Bible, it's on page 253, and it's a story about a gentleman by the name of Samuel Morse, Morse code. So I'm just gonna read verbatim what was that story out of that Bible. This story about Samuel Morse is taken from the Founder's Bible, page 253. Samuel F.B. Morse, 1791 to 1872, was a noted painter and inventor responsible for the development of the telegraph and the Morse code. While painting a portrait in Washington, D.C. in 1825, he received word that his wife in New England was seriously ill, so he quickly returned home, but upon arriving, found that not only was she already dead, but that she had already been buried. Frustrated by the fact that the message had taken so long to reach him by the ordinary means of the day, he sought a better method of long-distance communication. After consulting with others about electromagnetism, he developed an idea of a single-strand telegraph in 1832. Originally, he could transmit messages only over a short span, but after working with some scientific friends, they finally developed a means of transmitting magnetic signals over long distances. After demonstrating his invention at the U.S. Capitol, Congress appropriated money to construct a 38-mile-long telegraph line between the Capitol and Baltimore. On May 24th, 1844, at the suggestion of a friend, Morse sent the Bible message, "What hath God wrought?" That's Numbers 23:23, from the basement of the U.S. Capitol, the first telegraphic message to be transmitted between cities. Concerning the selection of that particular Bible verse, Morris explained, "Nothing could have been more appropriate than this devout exclamation at such an event when an invention which creates such wonder is taken from the land of visions and becomes a reality." Sometimes difficulty is the best force available to sharpen our blade, and without it, we would never be able to reach a success level that we were designed for, according to Psalm 139, verse 16. So let's now consider the depth of another verse, which So let's think about adversity, and let's think about this verse, and let's think about what this verse means. It's Proverbs 25:2. You guys are all familiar with it. God conceals the revelation of his word in the hiding place of his glory, but the honor of kings is revealed by how they thoroughly search out the deeper meanings of all that God says. Are we not invited to do the same thing? Are we not invited to go after the Lord, search out his revelation? What is he trying to tell us? And I think we are. I think the answer is yes, we definitely are. We're called to press into our situations, our adversity, and to see exactly what are we supposed to be taught in all this? The Lord never looks for qualified people. He qualifies all those who, with a believing heart, regardless of their natural resources and abilities, or personal resources, he looks for that heart that is fully devoted to him, and he qualifies that person. So oftentimes, adversity is a process that we have to work through. The Lord knows this. He knows that how we learn because he created us. And if you guys just reflect on your life and your situation, probably the lessons that you have learned the best have actually been on the other side of adversity. Somebody can drag you into a classroom and you can take a bunch of classes and you can be book smart about something, but until you've actually experienced it and kind of gone through it, you really haven't fully learned the lesson. You can be acquainted with a lesson, but I don't think you really truly learn it, unless you there's some friction in your life at some point that forces you to look at things differently or overcome a challenge. So let me describe the tactical side of what that looks like. And there's a great story in the Bible, Luke 5, verses 4 through 11. And you guys know this story. Peter was out fishing all night. So it starts with on verse 4, Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished, he said to Peter, "Now row out to the deep water to cast your nets, and you'll have a great catch." "Master," Peter replied, "you've come back. We've come back from fishing all night and did not catch a thing. But if you insist, we'll go out again and let down our nets because of your word." They pulled up their nets. They were shocked to see a huge catch of fish, so much that their nets were ready to burst. They waved to their business partners in the other boat for help. They ended up completely filling both boats with fish until their boats began to sink. When Peter saw this astonishing miracle, he knelt at Jesus' feet and begged him, "Go away from me, Master, for I'm a sinful man." Simon Peter and the other fishers, including his fishing partners Jacob and John and the son of Zebedee, were awestruck over the miracle catch of fish. Jesus answered, "Do not yield to your fear, Simon Peter. From now on, you will catch men for salvation." And pulling their boats to the shore, they left everything behind and followed Jesus. Now, if you reflect on that story, Revelation spoke to Peter and told him what to do. Revelation is Jesus. Revelation is the Holy Spirit. Peter and his team had gone through great adversity and a lot of toil, and they came up empty. I mean, empty nets, not one fish, doing what you know best, doing what you've done and learned your whole life, which has worked in the past. And Jesus tells you to do something. Luckily, Peter listened and obeyed. But I think the point here is that when we kind of hit a roadblock, and we all hit roadblocks, it's really the time where we really have to press in, because we need revelation from the Lord. We need to know what the next step is, what the answer is, what the next step is that you want me to do, what is the path you want me to walk on, and Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, has all the answers that we need. And so, like Peter, we've kind of go, okay, I've done all this like forever, but because you told me what to do, I'm going to do it. And sometimes, we'll get a simple little word about what to do next, and it will be the event that completely frees up the logjam. And the Lord knows, he knows the answer. He has all the answers. We just have to kind of like put our problems down and go to the Lord. So I would maintain, and I'm speaking for myself, adversity in my life has been a great tool, and I have ended up learning mightily from it. Now, do I want more adversity in my life? No, I want less. And so I'm in tune to regularly filling up with revelation from the Lord about everything, because it's more of him and less of me, And when I get more of him and less of me, I tend to walk in the direction that kind of steers around some adversity. And yeah, when you go up to a different, another level, you're going to see another level of adversity. So this is kind of like, like how we learn. And so I think instead of like stewing, and I've done that. I've done that. I've been like miserable and can't get to the truth, and and it usually takes, maybe a word or two from Janet about, hey, maybe you're looking at it wrong, and to kind of snap me out of it. And I can think of a couple instances where that's happened, and it's worked. Because it kind of got me out of my thinking. But if we can look at our adversity, it's an opportunity to learn. And Lord, what do you want to tell me? And what are you building inside of me that's going to be part of what I need for the future? We all remember an airline Captain Sullenberger. He studied aircraft flight his entire life. He was intense about studying airplanes and how they work. He went above and beyond on how a plane works. So he was a captain that successfully landed U.S. Airways Flight 1549 on the Hudson. And safely landing it on the Hudson, 155 people walked out of that plane. And in the notes that are on the website, I have the link of the cockpit conversation between him and the tower. And if you've never heard that one, I would encourage you to go find that link, play it, listen to it. And this is a guy who trained his entire life for these 2 minutes, where he safely landed that aircraft and put it on the water. Now, if you remember what brought that aircraft down, it was a bird strike. So he's not that high off the ground, and probably Canadian geese or something, hit both jet engines and took them both out. He lost all of his power on that aircraft, and figured out from his training how to control the flaps without normal means, and he safely landed that thing on the water. You never know what a benefit adversity is going to be, because it teaches you things that you're going to need, that the Lord really wants you to know, really wants you to master for this point in time that you're called into. So, and I really think the Lord wants to take us much higher, much higher than we're willing to go. I mean, I can speak for myself. I'm like happy at a level, but I think the Lord wants to take me even higher than I envision for myself. And many times, that's going to come with some challenges along the way to get there. So anyway, I think the Lord wants to take us higher. So the last verse that I want to mention to you guys, and then I want to open it up for your questions, is in Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. That when you think about that verse, to me, the summary of that verse is we are commanded to go after the things of God. We are commanded to go after his revelation. We are to commanded to go after the things of the kingdom. And we're supposed to take it very, very seriously, and it's going to require some effort. So the Lord absolutely is wanting to and will prosper everybody that takes him seriously. But part of taking him seriously is not allowing our adversity to trump the word in our life, and to kind of hop over that and go, Lord, I'm going through this. I don't know exactly why. I need your revelation. I know that you're good. I know this is temporary. Show me what I need to do next. Show me what I need to know. Show me what you're trying to teach me in this. Because I know, especially for this ministry and everybody that's on this call, the Lord is anxious. I heard the word anxious to prosper the people that lay it all down, that go after him, that believe in him, that trust him. And it's not, it goes kind of beyond. I mean, it's a real commitment. It's a declaration that you say in your heart, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know you're good, and I know this is going to have a good ending for me. I'm just in a tough spot right now, and I don't know what my next step is. So, Lord, can you show me what the next step is to keep me headed in the right direction to fulfill the plan that you have for me? So, with that, let me open it up to you guys. Do you guys have any questions? I know sometimes they call this a Q&A period. This is going to be a question and response because I don't have all the answers, but I'd be happy to share my experience and hear your comments. So if you guys have any questions, fire away.
Hey Jim, this is Holly.
Hey, Holly.
I just wanted to add a thought. Something you said earlier about when you ask the Lord for direction in a situation, and sometimes his word will be very short, maybe half a sentence. And then I just wanted to add this little tidbit that sometimes what happens is people argue with him about why that is not a good idea. And so it takes a level of trust that he really does know what he's doing and he really has our best interest at heart. And he's kind of testing, do you believe me and do you trust me? And I've seen absolute crazy miracles if I would just go with it. Makes no sense, but okay. Like, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net again. Makes no sense, but okay. So I just want to throw that in there.
Well, and Holly, thanks for bringing that up because when you press into the Lord for that, with that question, and you're told to take that boat out and drop those nets again, right? You may excuse that as I've done that. That didn't work. Right? So there's a, I think to your point, Holly, there is this, a real sensitivity that we need to in the spirit that, and I have found that the Lord is like, when you go to the Lord and go, I have to have like an answer. I have to know, trust that he's going to give you one and trust that what comes to you. And don't let your flesh kind of get in the way and argue with that makes sense or that doesn't make sense. That's a great point, Holly. There's got to be a question or two out there. There has to be. John, you've probably been through a little adversity. Does this make sense?
Yeah. Oh, it makes a lot of sense. The adversity basically knocks the wind out of you and puts you in a place where you really need to depend on him. And it's sometimes it's like, wow, this took the wind out of me, but I'm not going to stop. I mean, I've been doing this since 1971. I'm not giving up on God. He's the thing that I look at is if you've lived in the spirit long enough and you track back every time God showed up in your life,
Yeah.
you will see it go from infancy all the way up to the age we are now.
Yeah.
God been faithful to me.
Yep.
And the answer is yes. And so this situation, the circumstance that I'm in right now, he's got that too. I don't see how it's going to come out, but I need to trust in him
Yeah.
and hang in there and just believe him and get to that Matthew, I think it's Matthew's, where he talks about trust in the Lord, and it'll be like surrendering it, surrendering the circumstance you're going through, surrendering the difficulty you're going through, and say, God, I'm going to trust you in this, and I'm
Yep.
going to give it to you so that I'm not taking it on myself.
Yep.
I'm not doing very well with it on my own.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
it's about trust. It's about, okay, you got this, and I'm going to trust you, and we're going to walk through it together.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like in those instances, I feel like the Lord is waiting for us to give up on us. You know, and it's like, aha. Now we can go to work, you know. Now we can, you know, get some things accomplished. So there's a couple other things on that. Well, first of all, does anybody have any questions? Are there any other questions or comments?
Jim,
Yeah.
this is Laura. I was going to say, once you have an experience of trusting the Lord, when you're in that place where you have to have an answer, it's big, it's so big, and you just have to call out on Him and get an answer. And when you've been through that, and He is so faithful that you're just shaking and laughing and crying at the same time, you're never the same again.
No.
Because then the next time it happens, you're not full of questions and doubt and fear. You say, He is so awesome. He's so amazing. He gave me a scripture when I opened the Bible and pointed. I don't do that. But I was so desperate and it was so big, I had to have an answer. And it was about backing my kids in buying my dad's house in Florida to flip it and make some money. But some hurricanes had happened and property values had crashed, and my dad needed to move, and my kids wanted to do this. And I was going to be the money behind it. And I'm going, Lord, Lord, I don't know what to do. And so I just pointed. And this is the scripture he gave me in that moment. He says, listen, O daughter, give attention and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house.
Whoa.
Whoa! Woo! Glory! I didn't have any second thoughts, not for a minute. And the realtor who talked to my dad 9 months later after he sold the house to some neighbors. He said, Roger, your house was the only house I sold in 9 months. And his sister and her husband sat 2 years with their house empty.
Wow.
God is, he's God.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What
Yeah,
was your
that's
scripture, Laura?
It's Psalm 45.
Okay.
It's verse 10.
Thank you.
Woohoo!
It just
Still
sounds
rocks
so
my boat,
good.
I tell you.
Oh, that's
that's
awesome.
awesome.
Yeah.
Jim,
That's
this is Kim, and I just feel like the Lord is saying a scripture over us. Oh, there's a lot of feedback. I don't know if some people are unmuted or if it's me. But I hear the Lord saying, beloved friend, it's 3 John 1:2. He's saying this to each one of us. It's the Passion Translation. Beloved friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and that you continually enjoy good health, just as your soul is prospering. And I just feel like he's encouraging us, as you said, come up higher. I heard him say, some of us, and maybe all of us, are shooting too low, and we've settled, and we can enjoy better health, better relationships, prospering in every single way, and so every area beyond, our own little minds. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we are sometimes we're our own biggest like impediment. And I'm not saying we don't have real challenges. There are real challenges out there. But absolutely, Kim. I think that if we could get a glimpse of where the Lord wants to take us based on our destiny, based on what's written in our book of life, we would be blown away and we would have a new attitude. We would not be happy with treading water, idling, kind of going through life without some intensity. And we can all pray for that. So, one of the things that the Lord showed me as I was spending time specifically on this message was he said he wanted me to remember that scripture that he's doing a new thing. That don't you see it? I'm doing a new thing. Can't you see it? It's a new thing. Okay, so just like Laura, just like you heard that scripture, I heard the it's a new thing scripture. All right. So one of the things that when the Lord is doing something new, we kind of are not ready for it because we're still carrying a lot of baggage on old ways of doing things, old ways of thinking. And it's really out of habit. It's not intentional. It's not being sinful. It's just, this is kind of what we're routine people. This is kind of like what we're used to. So, also on the notes, that are now on the website, I have posted a link, for an interview that a guy by the name of Sean Ryan did with a gentleman by the name of Rob Luna. And Rob Luna is a financial guy. And I listened to this interview. I think it's about an hour long. But it just blew my mind because he was talking about the financial situation today, and he's talking about kind of the new paradigm, the new shifts, the new things that are happening. The things that have changed recently, the things that are going to change in the future. And it just opened up my mind to the financial changes that the Lord is instituting. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there a couple of guys here are pouring through scripture and they're talking about finances. I don't know if either one of them is a Christ follower. I don't know that. But what I heard in this interview was great questions, great answers, great insight as to the change that are coming. And so I looked at this interview as for me financially, I looked at this interview As you know, the old farmhouse pumps, you know, that you'd go out of the house and you'd there was this cast iron thing with this long lever, and you'd go, you know, pull the lever several times and like water would come out and fill the bucket. But water never came out until you took a part of that, took a bucket of water and poured it down into the well and actually affected the seal and made the suction work on the pump. Okay. So that pump, you can go up and down on that handle all day long and not get water until you prime that pump. Well, in the same manner, for me, listening to this interview was like priming my pump mentally, because it opened me up as to things that I should stop paying attention to and things that I should start paying attention to. And so I know that the Lord is doing some new things financially, and I want to be kind of like on the front of the parade. I don't want to be on the back. I want the Holy Spirit to show me what I should be, what Janet and I should be doing financially to be part of the new thing, right? And so I saw this interview as a tool that I can like just listen to and kind of allow the Holy Spirit to add his wisdom and knowledge into that, and use it to kind of like be my icebreaker mentally and break up some of the things that I had thought about historically that don't work anymore. So that really got me thinking. And so I'm really thinking that the Lord wants to do like fantastic things that we don't have space for in our brain yet, because we're not quite there yet. So I think our part is to go, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? How can I learn? What are you showing me? What do I need to listen to? I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to pay attention to you. I'm going to look for your wisdom and revelation every day. But these are the things that I wonder about, and this is the kind of stuff I want to be taught, you know. So not only did I come across that interview, and I thought that interview could benefit other people, just listen to the kind of the fresh thinking. But then the Lord kind of took me into another spot, and I've been wondering about this one. So without going into a lot of detail, I want to say the current administration has made a lot of changes to a lot of different things. And a lot of those have shown up in executive orders. And there's a lot of change. And so I'm intrigued with, and I think this came from the Holy Spirit, and I think it goes back to the verse that I'm doing a new thing. Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. So the Lord is clearly doing a new thing. He uses people to do a new thing. And in the current administration, there is an enormous amount of change that is taking place financially, socially, economically, personally, just a ton of change. The last time I checked, there were over 65 executive orders that have been executed and are in play now. Now, some of those are being challenged in court, but a lot of those are not. And so, and I think this kind of came from the Holy Spirit, because I'm fascinated with where it might go. But I am in the process of creating what I call an opportunity map. And so what I'm going to do, and maybe I'll have it done for the next time, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the 65 executive orders that have been signed, and I'll put them down the left side of the paper, and then I'm going to have a series of columns to the right of that. How does that change from what we've done in the past? How does it change for the future? Who's affected? How does it affect business? How does it affect me personally? And where are the opportunities? And so I'm going to do my best to fill out this entire matrix and leave certain spaces blank, with the idea that it can go back in somebody else's hands. They could read it. They could use it for their own advantage. They could rewrite my matrix. They could do their own research and put it in, especially the part where what does it mean for me? What does it mean for me? Where is the opportunity for me? And then I believe this is a little bit of a tool that would prime the pump and may open some doors up on thinking and where the Holy Spirit maybe wants to take you and do. I mean, what as I'm working on this, Kim, I cannot get your effort with school and education out of my mind. Now, I know that is changing drastically. That's from the top down, that is changing drastically. So, like, where is the opportunity? How will the opportunity emerge? What does it mean to me? Like, what do I need to do? And so, I'm just kind of fascinated with that scripture. Can't you see I'm doing a new thing? Well, yeah, I can see there's a lot of changes coming, but what does it mean? Where is it going? Who gets affected? And how do we prosper? How do we expand the kingdom the way the Lord designed us to be, right? And maybe we get drawn, to our real purpose, like we're really why we're walking on the face of the earth. So I was just kind of fascinated with that. And every now and then I kind of get these wild ideas, and that's one of them. But I don't know if it'll like go anywhere or mean anything to anybody, but I'm really kind of fixated on listing all the change. How does it affect? What does it change? What does it make different? What does it make worse? Where are the opportunities? So that's homework I think the Lord gave me. So I'm going to pursue that, and hopefully I'll have something maybe to report next time. But I totally see a big change coming, like everywhere, and we're designed for this. We are walking on the earth right now because we were designed for this. There's a job for us to do in this kingdom expansion, and the Lord's anxious to use us. He's anxious to prosper us. He's anxious for us to get into our God-given destiny. And it's time to like take him serious. So that's really kind of the message I got the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Hey, Jim. Jim, can you hear me? Yeah, I'm intrigued by the verse that the about the kingdom and the violent seed. It almost seems like that's counter to what we're supposed to be, but not really. We got to be aggressively pursuing this in light of all these changes and in light of all the adversity we're going through. I can't sit back passively and just twiddle my thumbs and wait for him to come riding on a white horse. I've got to be aggressively pursuing, violently knocking on the doors of the kingdom to find the revelation, to, for the next step, whatever that next step is in this new time. So it's fascinating to me, that scripture and how it's beginning to speak to me a little bit more, and because I never really understood it.
Well, that's kind of a hard one to understand, and I could it was a head scratcher for me for a long time, and I'm not saying I have it right, but I think there's an ardent zeal that we have to go after the kingdom. That has to exist in us. We have to go after the kingdom. And you know, I mean, we were designed for this. We're designed for this time. So I don't think we're supposed to sit in the box seats. I think we're supposed to be on the field. And everybody's got their role, you know? So that's just my sense. And anybody else? Any other comments?
Hi, I'm Julie. I'm new to the group and totally like agree with everything that you're saying. And I don't know if it falls under the line of adversity or not, but I've had chronic headaches for 40 years. And just recently, just a few weeks ago, had an encounter here in my home with God. And from that point, like he's really lifted some type of demonic attachment that was to me. And my spirit has definitely been freed since then. And so I totally agree with what you're saying about it's a new time, because I've totally been feeling that in my spirit. Like I'm like, okay, like I'm finally like I'm break you've broke me free from that. And but like you said, Jim, it was like me continually working really hard to pursue him, and then just finally coming to him at like my wit's end and saying, Lord, I just can't deal with this anymore. Like I'm submitting it all to you, and you have to help me with this, and I just can't deal with it anymore. And like in that moment is when he showed up, and he was just like lifting like everything from my head. And it was just like the most amazing thing I've ever encountered. And like I think it was Laura who said she's never forgotten, and she was like that moment that she put her fingers on that scripture. It's like I'll never forget that moment. And just knowing like he wants to do big things like in me this year. And like you said, like now is the time, and it's going to happen now. And he's just wants me to just keep coming to him, and he's not asking anything of me. He just wants me to just like come and sit with him and like be with him. And I think too, just because I've only been walking with him for, a few years, like 4 or 5 years, and I'm still trying to get in tune with my spirit man. But it's like it gets better and better each time that I sit with him. So,
Good for you. Yeah.
yeah, thank you.
Awesome.
It's been pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I think we're coming up to the end of the time here, so let me close in prayer. And but I would invite you to go on the website and pull those notes because of those two links that are there. And once you hear the Captain Skullenberger cockpit transmission between him and the tower, I mean, it's really kind of riveting. And we actually have all been created for that. And so, I'm just going to pray that the Lord shows us each individually, what that is, and how we get to the next step. So, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the revelation and how real your word is, how alive and well it is, and how it breathes life into us. And Lord, Jesus is the living word. Jesus is the revelation. Lord, we hunger for this. We need this. We are all empty clay pots without your filling. Yet, Lord, when we're filled with you, we can do all things. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would visit each one, every person on this call, and every person in the sound of my voice, that they would know why they were created, why they're walking the face of the earth, what it is that the Lord wants them to do, what the next step is to get there, and to really start to begin to understand their identity in Christ. And Lord, I pray that everyone on this call and everyone in the sound of my voice in the next few days and the next few weeks would become closer to that reality, that they would clearly hear God's voice, that they would actually know what the next step is. They would have this burning desire to do what the Lord is commanding them to do. And I ask all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, thank you for jumping on, and I look forward to doing this next month, and I'm going to work on my God homework assignment and see what that looks like. It could go nowhere, it could go a lot of places, so we'll see what happens. But,
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you.
Jim.
all right, we'll see you guys.
Thank you so much,
See you.
Jim.